Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thank you for tuning in. It's great to have your company. Tonight, we have the second story in this mini-series from Adele's Jewelry Shop. I hope you enjoyed the first episode on Monday and that it helped you get the great rest you deserve. In this episode, we'll hear the story of an old ring that was found by Adele's grandfather when he was journeying along an ancient Roman road. Of course, tomorrow is Thursday, and that means a new exclusive episode on our supporters feed, Get Sleepy Premium. I'll be reading the third story in this series, which is a heartwarming tale about Adele's childhood friend and the bracelet that she still wears to recognise that friendship. So if you liked Monday's episode and you enjoy tonight's, then you won't want to miss the last one. It's probably my personal favourite of them all. So be sure to sign up for Get Sleepy Premium. You'll get the exclusive episode each Thursday, like the one I'm reading tomorrow, as well as access to our full back catalogue, completely ad-free. If you're interested in signing up, go to getsleepy.com/support or simply use the link in the show notes to find out more. Tonight's episode is supported by our friends at BetterHelp. If you feel like there's something getting in the way of your happiness or holding you back from achieving your goals, there is absolutely no shame in that, and you're certainly not alone. The very best thing I can recommend is to reach out and speak to a professional, licensed therapist. Our wonderful friends at BetterHelp will get you the right support by assessing your needs and matching you with the very best counsellor for you. You can send messages to your counsellor whenever you like and schedule weekly video calls from the comfort of your own home. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And at the moment, you, our Get Sleepy listeners, will receive 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/getsleepy. I wish you the very best if you decide to give BetterHelp a try. So now, if you haven't already done so, put all physical distractions to one side. Close your eyes and let yourself sink into your bed. When I'm settling down, I find it helpful to just mentally scan over my entire body and identify those areas where tension, aches, or discomfort has carried over from the day. And with your focus on each of those areas, just draw in a deep breath and slowly exhale. Visualize that tension melting away and flowing out of your body. Repeat this process as many times as you need throughout tonight's story and beyond. Now, allow the darkness to settle for a moment behind your closed eyes. You can watch the flickering that occurs across this blank canvas. These lights are little projections of your mind. In this same way, your mind can project a story for you that will help you fall asleep. So why not bring to mind the image of Adele's old jewelry shop? She told such a great story last time. She must have many more. The shop has big glass windows filled with sparkling displays, and above the door is the old sign that simply reads, "Jewelry." You open the door and step inside. Countless cases and shelves line every wall. It's dimly lit, but you can see some of the items of jewelry in the glass display case nearest to you. There are hundreds of silver rings lined up in neat rows. Some thick, some thin. Some have brightly coloured gemstones, while others are decorated with symbols. You've been here before, but there's always something new to look at, and a new story to hear. The shop owner, Adele, comes over to greet you. She's just prepared a pot of your favourite tea. You sit down in the plush, comfortable armchair, take the cup of tea from the tray, and breathe in deeply. It's still too hot to drink, but the scent alone is enough to relax you. Adele noticed you admiring the rings and has a new one to show you. As she goes to fetch it from behind the counter, she explains that it's not exactly new. It's actually an old find, discovered by her grandfather many years ago. She thought it was lost forever, until it turned up unexpectedly in a drawer. The ring is inside a black velvet pouch. Adele empties it into your hand, and you feel the cool, solid weight of the ring. It's a thin band of gold, so thin and small that it would barely fit on your little finger. In the middle, there's a small circle of scarlet, opaque rock, a material known as jasper. Holding the ring up to the light, you can just make out the details of the carving. There's an image of a young man with curly hair, surrounded by ivy leaves. This kind of ring is known as an intaglio ring, Adele explains. They were worn by wealthy, influential businessmen in the Roman Empire, and used to authenticate documents. the businessman would stamp the ring into a hot wax seal. The stone was difficult to carve, and the more intricate the design, the harder it was to imitate. You could tell a lot about someone's status by their ring. The ring you're holding now is beautifully designed. Every line of the young man's hair is perfectly carved into the rock, in flawless miniature. The ring must have belonged to a very important person. Adele explains that although the ring was found in Rome and is in the ancient Roman style, it's not as ancient as it appears. There was a fashion for these kinds of rings in the Renaissance. The one you're holding now is a replica. You can tell whether the ring is an ancient original or a Renaissance replica by X-ray analysis. But some experts check by testing the ring's original function. Press the ring into hot wax and then onto a piece of paper. Even if the stone doesn't look that impressive, if it's a Roman original, it will create a seal with magnificent detail. The particular ring you're holding right now is most likely Victorian. This style of jewellery came into fashion again in the 19th century. During this era of travel and exploration, many people favoured jewellery inspired by ancient Rome, as well as Egyptian and Etruscan designs. But even if the ring is not as old as it seems, it's a beautiful object, and Adele is fond of the story behind it. It brings back memories of her grandfather and his stories of a wonderful holiday many years ago. Adele's grandfather was named Mark. When he was a young man, he enjoyed travelling around Europe, often alone. His favourite seasons to travel were spring and autumn, when it was neither too hot nor too cold. The moderate temperatures meant he could travel by bike. For Mark, it was the best way to explore. Faster than walking, but slow enough to appreciate the details. He could immerse himself in the atmosphere of a place. There was one journey in particular that he dreamed of since he was a child. A bike ride along the Appian Way. This ancient road stretches south of Rome all the way to Brindisi, 60 kilometers away. The Appian Way was built by the Romans around 300 BC as a military route for the transportation of supplies and soldiers. Mark was fascinated by all aspects of ancient history. But what drew him to the Appian Way was something different. He wanted to experience the atmosphere of the road for himself. The city turning into countryside and the echoes of the past. There were some things he couldn't learn about in books. He would have to cycle along the Appian Way and see for himself. Mark set off on his journey on a sunny spring morning, cycling through the shady residential streets of Rome. He cycled slowly. With each deep breath, he filled his lungs with the fresh morning air. He was in no hurry at all. no rush to reach his destination. He had the whole day ahead of him. He liked to take his time, looking all around to soak in his surroundings. He inhaled the scents of the neighborhood, the rich perfume of the purple wisteria that cascaded over garden walls, the fresh, comforting smell of laundry hung out to dry. Soon, there would be the aromas of Roman cooking, the mouth-watering smells of meat and vegetables sizzling with garlic and chili. But by the time the cooking started, Mark would already be on the Appian Way. He pedaled on, down winding roads, until he reached the beginning of the road, with no bends or curves, the Appian Way. This road was a straight line all the way to Brindisi. Although there were no signs, Mark knew that he was at the beginning of the Appian Way, the Queen of Roads, as the Romans called it. The entrance was marked by an enormous building that looked like a castle or fortress. This imposing gate, called Porta San Sebastiano, was built in the 3rd century. It was thrilling to imagine the thousands of people who had passed under the archway on their way to work, or perhaps on their way home all those centuries ago. The road narrowed, and the traffic gradually thinned and disappeared. There were few reasons to travel along the Appian Way these days, unless you were a tourist or a local looking for a place to exercise or walk the dog. Eventually, the Appian Way would take you south to Brindisi, but it was really a destination in itself. Mark looked around in wonder, drinking in the details. The road was lined with umbrella pines and cypresses. On the grassy verge, he could see fragments of Roman buildings and statues nestled among the grass and the aloe plants. Mark was looking forward to seeing the Roman villas and monuments he'd read about. But even these fragmentary ruins were evocative. It seemed that they'd been left where they'd fallen, undisturbed for centuries. The road sloped downhill, and then, all of a sudden, on his left was a vast, magnificent monument. A wide, white tower. Mark stopped to admire it, wondering whether it was a fortress. Although the top level was crumbling away, a little like the Colosseum, the building still looked surprisingly sturdy. Mark pulled out the guidebook from his backpack and flicked through until he found the right page. The monument he was looking at was actually a mausoleum. It was the tomb for Cecilia Metella, a woman whose father and husband were important political figures. The mausoleum was built in the 1st century BC, making it even more ancient than the more popular Colosseum. Mark got off the bike and propped it up against a nearby tree. He walked slowly around the mausoleum, running his fingers along the white stone. soon it would be warmed by the sun, but at the moment it was pleasantly cool to the touch. According to the guidebook, the white stone was not marble, as he'd thought, but travertine, a kind of limestone. The ancient Romans took the material from a nearby quarry and used it to construct many famous buildings. Later, great artists and architects, such as Michelangelo and Bernini, also used travertine to create their masterpieces. It was inspiring, imagining all of the great minds of Rome taking their material from the same place across the centuries. A pleasing sense of continuity and timelessness, just like the Appian Way itself. Although Mark was intrigued by the mausoleum, the gates seemed to be locked. Besides, there was so much more to see on the Appian Way. He got back on his bike and cycled on, past other, smaller ruins. The sun was high in the sky now, and there was very little shade. But with the wind in his hair, the temperature was perfect. Distracted by the ruins on the roadside, Mark had hardly paid attention to the road ahead of him. Feeling a bump beneath him, he quickly braked and came to a halt on the cobblestones. The stretch of smooth paving stones had ended. The road ahead was formed of huge, time-warped stones, marked by the wheels of ancient carriages. This was the original Roman road. Although it made cycling a challenge, Mark was delighted. He was literally following in the footsteps of the Romans. He imagined soldiers marching, horse-drawn carriages transporting food and military supplies, shepherds herding sheep, all the way along the Appian Way. He moved over to the side of the road to let a man with horses pass, and realized that it was easier to cycle here, avoiding the cobbles altogether. He began to cycle along the grassy verge instead, a narrow dirt path that seemed to have been created by previous cyclists. Everything felt so calm and peaceful that it was hard to believe the city centre was just a few kilometres away. The only sounds were birdsong and the rhythmic spinning of his bicycle wheels, round and round. There was something hypnotic, almost meditative, about cycling. Just as he was returning to a smoother stretch of cobbles, Mark became aware of another sound, the distant, melodic tinkling of bells. What could it be? He picked up speed, intrigued by the sound. And then, all of a sudden, the source came into view. A herd of sheep crossing the Appian Way. There were at least 40, shuffling together in one big group. As they crossed the cobbles, the bells around their necks jingled, presumably to let the shepherd know where they were. But there was no sign of a shepherd. It was as though the sheep had decided to go for a walk of their own accord, going from field to field along the Appian Way. Mark stopped to let the sheep cross, counting as each one reached the other side of the road. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But then the wool of one sheep blurred into another, and he lost count. They now seemed like one continuous mass, a white carpet covering the road. It was strangely soothing to watch. Mark could have happily sat down in the grass and watched the endless flow of sheep. Just then, the shepherd came into view. He was a young Roman man who walked even more slowly than the sheep. Just like Mark, the shepherd and his sheep were clearly in no hurry to reach their destination. The two men greeted each other. Mark asked the shepherd if there were many farms nearby. The shepherd nodded and replied in rough, rapid-fire dialect. Yes, the area around the Appian Way was full of farms and vineyards. Once you reached this part of the road, in a way, you were no longer in Rome. This was the countryside, practically unchanged since ancient times. Mark watched as the shepherd followed his sheep into the field on the other side of the road. Apart from the man's clothes, it could have been a scene from 1,000 years ago. Moments like this made Mark feel closer to the city's ancient history, transporting him back in time more effectively than any book or picture. He was so glad to be here, fulfilling a lifelong dream on the Appian Way. There was a small, humble drinking fountain by the side of the road. This kind of fountain was known as a nasone, meaning big nose, because of its distinctive spout. They could be found everywhere in Rome, on street corners, in piazzas, and hidden away in back streets. Mark was relieved to find one here too. Cycling under the sun was making him thirsty. Besides, the fountain made him feel like the city wasn't so far away after all. In a way, he was still in Rome, on the border between city and country, past and present. He leant over to drink from the fountain. The water tasted so cool and clean, as though he was drinking the water right from its source. After drinking his fill, Mark cupped his hands and splashed the water on his neck. It was wonderfully refreshing. It felt like he was waking up all over again, starting his day anew. Now rejuvenated, Mark got back on his bike and continued his journey. The stones had become smoother, so he could cycle right down the middle of the road. There was no one else around, just him and the Appian Way. At some point, he expected to come across the ruins of a Roman villa. He wasn't sure exactly where or on which side of the road, but it was impossible to get lost on a straight road, after all. He was bound to come across it eventually. In the meantime, he would simply go on, cycling leisurely and enjoying the scenery. If he saw something that caught his interest, he would stop. When he felt hungry, he would have a break. But for now, he was happy to carry on. Some of the ruins along the roadside were easy to miss. The chunks of stone or shattered statues were half hidden by the grass and the trees. They were difficult to decipher, too, in such a fragmentary state. What were these buildings? Who were the people in the statues? There was no information in the guidebook. It was frustrating, having no way of knowing. But in a way, Mark liked having the freedom to imagine, to dream. The mysterious atmosphere of the Appian Way meant that the ruins could be anything he wanted. He pictured magnificent temples and statues of gods and goddesses, mixed with humble farms and memorials to the ordinary people who'd once lived here. During the day, the harvesting of grapes. At night, religious rituals to honour the wine god. There was something truly magical about this place. He was sure that if he stopped in the shade to have a nap, he would fall asleep and have the most wonderful dreams. Perhaps he would have a rest after lunch. It was getting warmer and warmer, and he could imagine falling asleep in the grass beneath the shade of a cypress. Just then, a larger ruin came into view on his left. A huge, rugged stone structure. It was clearly rather old, but Mark had no idea what it could be. He hopped off his bike and took out his guidebook. This time, he was in luck. According to the book, this massive monument was another mausoleum, roughly in the shape of a pyramid. It would have once been covered with decorative marble, but now this was all that remained. Mark could think of no resting place more peaceful. This part of the Appian Way had a feeling of stillness and tranquility. Birdsong and the buzzing of insects were the only sounds. He was tempted to sit in the shade of the ruins and take a nice, long nap. But he decided to take a look around first. He left his bike resting in the grass and walked on a little further. Then he stopped. Using his hand to shield his eyes from the bright sunlight, he looked over the field. There, beyond the long grass and wild flowers, were the vast ruins of an ancient Roman villa. This was what he'd been searching for. The villa of the Quintili was one of the largest and most impressive monuments on the Appian Way. It was a sprawling complex of ancient walls, red brick columns, and archways soaring into the sky. When the ruins were first rediscovered, it was thought to be a town. In fact, it was actually a luxurious suburban villa, consisting of various buildings, including a thermal bath complex and an aqueduct. There was even a private stadium for horse races. Mark gazed at the villa in wonder. It was incredible to think that the Roman Emperor Commodus had once lived here. Mark closed his eyes and imagined gardens filled with pools, fountains, and marble statues. There would have been an ornately decorated dining hall filled with frescoes and other art, the scene of many sumptuous banquets. On hot days, the emperor and his guests would have relaxed in the thermal baths, cooling off in the refreshing water of the coldest pool. Mark took a deep breath in and then out. The image of the pool was so relaxing, a dip in the cool, clean water of a Roman bath would be the perfect way to unwind at the end of his long journey. But he still had many miles to cycle, and besides, the Roman bath was only a fantasy. Now, nothing remained of the pools except the surrounding walls and mosaic tiles. Mark walked slowly through the long grass towards the villa. The grass was filled with poppies and other colourful wildflowers. Bright specks of pink and purple sparkling in the sunlight. Another flash of light caught his eye. Something else was shining on the ground, but it was too bright to be a flower. He bent down to inspect the object, which was half hidden in the dirt. Was it a badge? A brooch? He picked it up, gently wiping off the dirt with his finger, and held the object up to the light. It was a ring, one of the most spectacular he'd ever seen. A scarlet stone set in a narrow gold band. The colour of the stone was beautiful enough, but what made it even more special was the design. Squinting in the sunlight, he could just make out the image of a man's face beneath the dirt. A youthful, smiling face surrounded by a halo of flowing hair and intricately carved ivy leaves. Cradling the ring in his palm, he walked over to the nearest patch of shade beneath a row of trees. The temperature was much cooler here. There was even a slight breeze. He sat down to rest. It felt so good to be sitting down at last. He would stay here a while to drink, eat, and maybe even sleep before exploring the villa. Then he would continue his journey down the Appian Way, heading south. On and on, all the way to the sea. Mark gazed at the ring through half-closed eyes. It was exquisite. It was the kind of thing he would expect to see in a glass case at a museum. But it was right here in his hand. He could hardly believe his luck. the perfect souvenir from his Roman holiday. One day, he would take it to an expert to find out how old it was, where it had come from, and who it might have belonged to. But in this moment, it hardly seemed to matter. He was simply happy to have found such a special ring, and in such a magical place. It was an archaeological treasure. As he rested in the shade of the tree, he gradually became aware of his breath slowing and his eyelids growing heavy. It was just a matter of time before he fell into a peaceful sleep. But he wanted to look at the ring just a little bit longer, to imagine the hand that had once worn it. As his eyelids fluttered and closed, his head filled with fantasies. Pictures from the past projected on the back of his eyelids. An emperor reclining at a dining table, reaching for a dish of grapes. On his finger was the ring, the red stone gleaming in the candlelight. Or maybe the ring was on the hand of another man, a wealthy landowner dipping his ring in wax as he conducted business from his country retreat. Or perhaps the ring belonged to a woman. The face was of her lover, or a mythological figure, or a god. There were so many possibilities. In that moment, hovering over the border between consciousness and sleep, they all seemed equally enchanting and equally real. With his head resting against the trunk of the tree, and the ring in the palm of his hand, Mark slowly drifted off to sleep, into dreams about the Appian Way.